There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Stand to attention when I'm talking to you!
On Talk Radio.
It's mess!
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham as we prepare to head into another glorious weekend in this disunited kingdom. So, 24 hours after Donald Tusk told Theresa May and the UK Parliament not to waste any time sorting out the Brexit fiasco, they've all given themselves a couple of weeks off for Easter. Isn't it marvellous? It's the first good idea they've had, though, in months, and I'm actually all for it. The longer they all stay away from the process, the better, as far as I'm concerned. More important for me is the news that Operation Yellowhammer has now been cancelled. That's right, the plans for a no-deal Brexit have all been shelved, despite the fact that we were all told we couldn't have a no-deal Brexit because there weren't any plans in place for it. How do you figure that one out? And to make matters worse, the civil service instruction has gone out after it was revealed we have spent £4 billion on the plan already. That's right, 4 billion quid with a B. On what exactly? Don't tell me setting up that useless lorry park trial run cost even 1/1,000,000th of that amount. Where on earth has £4 billion gone? Meanwhile, we await some white smoke coming from the Labour Tory meetings, which are still going on whether we can adopt some kind of customs union, which won't get voted through the Houses of Parliament anyway. How long before we hear that nothing useful has been agreed and nothing will continue to happen? We will still not leave the European Union today. We will still not leave the European Union tomorrow. It won't happen at all until, apparently, Halloween, October the 31st, 0344 499 1000. Coming up later on, we'll find out just how it is possible or even legal for people to listen in to our private conversations via various devices in our homes, Alexa, Google, Amazon, and all the rest of it. Plus, where has our sense of humour gone? And we'll find out what the best restaurant is in Preston. You might be surprised at the answer. 0344 499 1000. Because it's Friday, it's time for another sparkling edition of the Perrier Awards, an homage to my brilliance in broadcasting. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So we are told, amidst all of the nonsense about Julian Assange, which we'll be talking about a little bit later on in the show, but to be honest, it bores me to death, really. The idea that somehow Labour have conspired to say that it's an absolute outrage that he's going to be sent back to America. Jeremy Corbyn and Diane Abbott saying he hasn't done anything wrong. It's all about exposing American secrets and American hegemony and all sorts of ghastly things. And of course, all the Tories say, well, of course he should be sent back. Never mind all that. Let's talk about Operation Yellowhammer, which apparently is now being swept under the carpet by Sir Mark Sedwill, the Cabinet Secretary, who basically just the other week told us that a no-deal Brexit would be the worst case scenario and would cost this economy billions and billions of pounds and would do unknown damage to this country. Now he's called it all off. Well, I thought he wasn't making any plans in the first place. Let's talk to Kate Hoey, Labour MP for Vauxhall, try and find out where this 4 billion quid has gone. Kate, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining us. At least you've now got some time to reflect, I suppose. I mean, a lot of people are saying, why have they taken 2 weeks off? Well, I don't actually mind the Parliament shutting down for 2 weeks because it's good opportunity for everybody to take a bit of a breather, you know, go and do something else for a while, maybe come back refreshed and maybe come up with a plan. But I'm not sure there's going to be one, is there?
Well, it's actually not 2 weeks. We're back Tuesday week and we only lifted last night. So it's not 2 weeks. And of course, we haven't had a break at all since Christmas, but I mean, I don't think that's really an issue.
No.
I mean, I think frankly, people were getting so irritable, so angry,
yes,
so really fed up that any kind of sensible discussions on Brexit had become almost, you know, ridiculous.
Yes.
Everybody was just repeating themselves over and over again.
And also to turn up at work over and over again, knowing that you're probably not going to get anywhere, is pretty frustrating, isn't it?
Well, I think what's so dreadful really is that, you know, if this had been handled better, and we've gone through this so many times, but if it's been handled differently, we could have been out of the EU now, we could have been on to all the other issues that matter to people. And instead of that, we're now going to be tied into probably European Union elections, which take very little notice of normally anyway, may well take more interest this time.
Yes, well, quite. And what about this idea that, you know, for a long time we were told we can't have a no-deal Brexit, we must pass some laws that require us not to have one, we must pass some laws that safeguard us from having one, we must be able to put in place all kinds of situations whereby we can stop a no-deal Brexit from happening, because we simply can't prepare for it, we simply don't know what will happen, we simply can't have a cliff edge, we simply can't do this, we simply can't do that, all of these ridiculous situations, right? And basically, it turns out that we've now spent, it seems, Kate, £4 billion preparing for a no-deal Brexit. Have you got any idea where any of that money has gone?
Well, I think genuinely you should interview Chris Heaton-Jones, who resigned last week as the minister dealing with all this. And he made a very clear statement of just how much work had been done, how near we were to being absolutely ready if there was an exit on a WTO terms. And, you know, I think that we should have done that. I personally would have been very happy with the WTO agreement.
As would a lot of other people.
Time. As would actually, you know, I'm not a great believer in polls, but most of the polls show that outside London, people just said, look, we need to get out, and the WTO is a way to get out without paying the £39 billion, and then we start negotiating. And, you know, as many people have said, that's the only way that the EU seemed to change anything is if they really think we're serious. And the problem is the Prime Minister has from day one not shown that she's been really serious. You know, she was asked yesterday, just what have you demanded? What have you ever actually demanded? And I asked her that. I said, you know, did you actually go back and say, look, the only thing that Parliament has voted for overwhelmingly is the Brady Amendment, which was the amendment that allowed, you know,
oh, I think we've lost Kate again. She's got a very dodgy phone line down there in Vauxhall. We'll have to see what we can do about that. But here's the situation, right? We are told this morning by the top civil servant in the nation, the guy who runs the whole kind of shebang, if you like, the whole organisation which we call the civil service. So Mark Sedwill has told the civil service to wind down worst-case scenario no-deal planning after the EU imposed a further six-month delay to Brexit. Now, I heard, for example, that they spent £2 million or gave £2 million to Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, in order to withstand any kind of necessary nonsense that might happen in the event of a no-deal Brexit or in the event of some kind of plan to bring in more police officers. We also know about that ridiculous kind of lorry park stunt that was pulled by Chris Grayling, where a load of lorry drivers drove round and round a former airport to pretend this is what they would do if there was stacking going on in Dover. But I really, for the life of me, can't work out where the rest of the money's gone. I think we've got Kate back. Kate, sorry, you seem to have a bit of a dodgy line this morning.
I don't know why. I don't know how it's all been spent. And actually, I think all we needed to do in terms of real preparation was to make it very clear that if we left, we would not be imposing any tariffs on anything coming in the short term. We could have gone to the WTO, asked for Article 24 to be invoked, which would have meant that we then wouldn't, that we're allowed a period of time with no tariffs to be able to work out an agreement with the European Union. I think the EU countries, particularly Germany, would have come running, because, you know, the Germans, and behind the scenes is clearly some disagreements going on within the European Union as well, between France and Germany, about how it's been handled. I think the Germans know they sell an awful lot to us, and they don't want that to be stopped. And I said the other day, words almost fail me now to talk about how exasperated and angry I am. And if I'm feeling like that, I know that out there in the country, millions of people are just feeling completely let down and you know, use the word betrayed, because they've been promised by MPs who stood on manifestos to honour the referendum, to leave the single market. In Labour's point was a little bit more nuanced about the customs union, but nevertheless, everyone in Parliament, the majority of MPs have just gone against that, because that's what they don't believe in us leaving, and they think the longer this gets delayed, the more people will be saying, oh, look, let's not bother. I actually think people are so angry this time that it's seeing a real shift in politics in the country, and that we will see, you know, if there are European Union elections, I think we'll see some pretty big sort of cosmic shifts in political views when it comes to
Well, it seems crazy. I mean, also, looking at the cost of all of that, you know, the total cost of holding the European elections for us is another £108 million. You know, the UK's 73 MEPs cost £2 million a month. You know, where's all this money coming from? We're supposed to be, you know, I know the economy's doing relatively well, but we're not supposed to be overburdened with loads and loads of cash to spray around, are we?
No, and it will be a complete waste of money, because if, you know, we do then leave at the end of October, they will no longer be taking their seats. And I don't think even the European Union would continue to pay them for the next few years. But it's also, of course, every month we delay, we're paying more into the European Union.
Yeah.
You know, the amount we pay. So I you know, the Prime Minister should resign. I mean,
she really should.
Very clearly that she has lost the confidence, not just of the Leave MPs, but of her own party, pretty clearly. And
I don't think she's got literally nothing left to lose. She's lost her authority. She's lost her right to tell people what to do. She's lost her ability to control her own party. She's lost in Europe. She's lost. I mean, there's nothing else that she can lose, is there?
No, so she's just obviously determined to stay there. And, you know, isn't it rather ironic that in this sort of great democracy of ours, we've got a prime minister that probably very, very few people want to keep in post on all sides, and yet she can stay there. So we have a sort of mini dictatorship in a way until they can come back in December and try to oust her if she doesn't go.
It's extraordinary, really, because I think at some point people should expect MPs like yourself, and I know you've been a very vocal critic of everything that's gone on, quite rightly so, but more people like you should get up and say, look, the system has broken down. It no longer works. Mm. We need to fix it. Yesterday I was saying, I think perhaps the only way out of this is a general election. Not because that will get us anywhere in particular, but what it will do is at least give the public an opportunity to express themselves. And I think they feel like they need that.
I think that's right. And I think what I hope doesn't happen, and this is unfortunately what could happen, is that many of those people across the country who voted for the first time in the referendum, you know, really did go out and feel their vote mattered, and now feel that it's been being stolen away from them, that they'll just say, oh, it's all not worth it. And of course, that's exactly what the leaderships of some parties would love to see happening, people just not bothering. And I hope that it's actually the other thing, you know, the other way, as I said, that it actually motivates people now. And I, from the kind of emails and letters and calls and so on, people you talk to, people are very angry. So I hope this anger kind of turns into a real form of saying, right, we are going to, you know, fight back now and not let our country be ruled by this kind of way of behaving.
Yes. Now, just before I let you go, because I know you're in a hurry this morning, Kate, let me just ask you quickly about Julian Assange. Seems to be, once again, like a lot of things in this country, split down sort of party political lines. Are you one of those who agrees with Jeremy Corbyn and says that this guy's a sort of a folk hero, or do you think he broke the law and we should be sending him off to America?
Well, he certainly looks more like a folk hero now. He seems to have changed his visual expression quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, he went in looking like Del Boy. He came out looking like Uncle Albert.
Well, yeah. I mean, he used to be what you would probably politically incorrect say was quite good looking.
Yeah. Well, right. Exactly.
However, I think we just have to let the legal system take its course.
Yes.
I've opposed in the past certain people being, I mean, there have been some terrible cases of where people were being sent back to America to a very different kind of justice system, and I've opposed that. But in this issue, I just feel almost like what you said at the beginning, I don't feel that interested. Mm. You know, I can't, but I do feel that as long as our justice system takes its course, and he will have the right to appeal and be heard, and
I think it's right to say as well that you shouldn't be able to avoid the legal process by seeking asylum in a London embassy of a country with which you have had previously no contact.
Well, it all has seemed a bit strange, and that he's been allowed to sort of be there for such a long time, and I just think most people will just think, look, let's get it sorted one way or the other. Let's get him treated. And I mean, I think the whole issue now is whether he did actually give intelligence that was harmful to, you know, either America or our country. And you know, I'm really not the person to judge that.
No, sure. Kate, thank you very much indeed. Have a great break. I know it's not 2 weeks. I shall correct that, although it will feel like 2 weeks because these guys haven't had much time off over the last few weeks and months. And also, they've been turning up to work in probably the most depressing place on the planet right now. But listen to me. Can you please find any way of explaining where the £4 billion has been spent? Because I can't. I have no idea where £4 billion has gone. I didn't even know we had £4 billion, but apparently we've spent it on no deal planning. Why? Where's it gone? This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. It is Friday, of course. We're going into a big weekend. It's the weekend before Easter weekend, but the MPs have given themselves a week off. I don't actually blame them. And look at the mess they've made while they've been in the job. So actually, you should all be cheering from the rafters and saying, good idea to take some time off, not actually having a go and saying, look at these people, they're always taking holidays. Because actually, they haven't taken that many. Henry Newman has tweeted, he's a frequent guest on this show, slightly fed up with MPs complaining Brexit isn't possible, pointing to the parliamentary impasse and demanding a so-called people's vote to clear up the mess. 80% of MPs voted to trigger Article 50. If the same lot had voted for the deal, we wouldn't be stuck. We'd be out of the European Union, and we would have left on March the 31st, or March the 29th, rather, which was when we were meant to leave. Let's go to the phones, though. 03-444-499-1000. Neil is in Macclesfield. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Mike. You all right?
Yeah, not bad, sir. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in the public and private sector over the years,
right.
And one thing I've realised is that the capacity for quangos and government departments to waste taxpayers' money is pretty much limitless, really.
Yes.
Years ago, I used to work for a quango that the remit was to help companies with technology, etc.
Right.
And they got towards the end of the year, they realised they'd underspent and they had about £400,000 to get rid of. So
yes.
you would think, well, let's bundle all that money up into little grants and we can help the local businesses to further their cause, etc. Mm. But what they actually did was organise a 3-day conference in a large 5-star hotel.
Of course.
Invite about 250 delegates from all across the UK.
Pay for them to be there, presumably.
Oh, yes. You know, we had lavish lunches and superb dinners and lots of wine and lots of drinking and all that sort of thing. And we were able to get through the budget. So
well done. Congratulations.
Well, you know, it was a wonderful weekend.
Did you manage to actually come up with any plans of any kind?
Well, yeah. Well, we realised that we were all doing a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
And we were very valuable.
Yes.
And you know, we deserved that lamb shank.
It is shocking, isn't it?
It's
the equivalent, isn't it, of the old 42-pound hammer that we used to be told the MOD had to buy when they had to buy. You know, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is astonishing, you know, the way they can just justify to themselves the squandering of money is incredible. So that £4 billion is pretty much a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard tales of, you know, civil servants coming back from trade missions, etc., and then ordering themselves stretch limousines to take them back from the airport to their own houses, rather than just get a little taxi, they get a stretched limo.
Well, this is the thing, and I mean, we found the other day, did we not? I think it was Daily Mirror's investigation, which was a good one, about the number of MPs who profited massively from selling off the second homes that we had basically paid for them to occupy when they were in London. It's incredible how much largesse these people think they're entitled to, when in fact, it's all taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I think they're so far down the pit they can't pull themselves back out of it. They don't know how to behave anymore.
No, I think but it's worse than that. They've kind of taken for granted that they're entitled to all of this. You know, when you see David Lammy turning up on Question Time and shouting like a sort of deranged maniac about why Brexit should never happen, you know, as if he's the only guy that's got the right to have an opinion and that nobody else's opinion is worth anything apart from his.
Yeah, I think they're going to get a rude awakening very shortly.
Well, this is why I think we should have an election. I really do, because there's been a lot of talk on this show about what we should do next. There's been a lot of talk about how we can get rid of the impasse. I think just for the sake of giving the public a feeling that they are still involved in the process, I think a general election is the only way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the fundamental thing is this word trust, which runs right through the whole of Western society. You know, money's based on trust. Work is based on trust, and our politics is based on trust, and they've betrayed our trust, and they're going to find out how we feel about that very shortly.
I think the sooner the better. Neil, great call. Thank you very much indeed. Neil, setting the tone for the show there.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, I'm going to speak to Eva Bloom-Dumonte because she is someone who knows an awful lot about privacy. She, in fact, is from Privacy International. And one of the things that we have all been worried about over the last few years, I would say, is that when you speak to your partner, when you speak to your friends, when you are sitting around, even when your phone is not necessarily on, as far as you're aware, if you've got the microphone on and it is tuned in to Facebook and you've got Instagram downloaded, it may well be that those particular companies are still able to hear what it is that you're saying. Alexa was invented as an individual kind of speaker, a personal speaker that you could have in your house, which you could order to do things. So it's voice activated, in other words. You've got cars that are voice activated now. So if I say Alexa an awful lot and it starts responding, do let me know. You might even be listening to this radio show via Alexa. My kids have got Alexa. I can certainly tell you that I've been sitting in my house quite happily talking about something, and when I next look on Facebook, there's an advert for the thing that I was talking about. I find that quite creepy, particularly since I've already switched off the microphone. Let's talk to Eva and find out how it's possible that these companies can even do this. Eva, very good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you very much for talking to us. This is slightly creepy, I would say, in the first instance, and worrying, because my concern is, how is it that these people can get away with this, and when are we going to make it impossible for them to do it?
Well, it is very concerning, and to be fair, it should already be, they shouldn't have the right to do this, I would rightfully argue. The thing that's most concerning is that the default setting was such that basically they were systematically sending out your recording as they saw fit to their analysts in Romania, in the US, in Costa Rica. So you had those people in Romania, in Costa Rica, and in the US listening on your conversations. Oftentimes without you knowing you were even recorded.
Yes.
Because we know there's been cases of Alexa being turned on just merely by background noises,
right,
without people actively saying that they want, you know, Alexa or trying to trigger their home devices.
Right.
Home devices.
No, that's right. But up until now, we always believed that, yes, if we turned off the microphones, that would be okay. And we also believed that if there were conversations being listened to, they were kind of being listened to by automatic bots, or possibly by, you know, some form of software which was then translating.
We were just listeners in by the machine, and you know, that was a very fair assumption. That's what people assume when they bought those devices. Now, even for people who would have gone as far as actually reading the privacy policy, in the privacy policy, all it says is we use a request to Alexa to train our speech recognition and natural language understanding systems. That sentence, I mean, it doesn't say we have people actually listening on what you're saying, and yet this is what you're arguing. They're arguing that, like, oh, if you had read the privacy policies, it said this, and therefore you should have been, like, turning off this, like, very specific setting that allowed us to send you the recording of your communications to Romania. Now, how were people supposed to know that they were supposed to change their settings when no one knew that this was happening?
Yes.
I mean, when Bloomberg revealed this investigation, this is absolutely mind-blowing. People had no idea. People had no reason to believe that this was happening. And so that's absolutely a major failure on Amazon's part. They were being deliberately deceitful toward their customers.
Yeah, and also it's quite dangerous from the point of view of not just privacy, but certain information. I mean, I'm reading that Amazon employees could hear people revealing names and bank details as well. So if there were to be anybody inside that organisation who was nefarious and who might wish to benefit from this, they could do so.
Absolutely. I mean, there's already sort of very sort of dark stories that have emerged that, you know, the employees had like a group, a social media group in which they were sharing the sort of like the funny things they were hearing in people's homes. There's been a case of like employees hearing a case of sexual assault that was unfolding. So the idea actually that people were aware that, you know, this recording was happening is ludicrous, because clearly we already have cases of you know, very sensitive situations being recorded. So that's not speculation. That's a reality that was already unfolding.
Yes. And so it could be that the EU, for example, will fine Amazon apparently up to $9 billion. But these people have been fined in the past. And, you know, we know how wealthy Jeff Bezos is. I mean, $9 billion to him is a drop in the ocean. It's something he spends at the weekend on putting up a satellite, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a fine would be a good first step. I mean, really what we need is for companies, not just Amazon, but all the companies that are selling smart home devices, to be a lot clearer about the implication of having those devices at home. Because, you know, now also the things are changing is that when you buy those devices can then be used in court against you, right? They can be used to testify against you, regardless. So I think people need to be much more aware. They're like, you know, when you used to buy a TV, you would just like, you know, buy a TV set. Now, when you buy a TV set, you buy a TV set, but you also buy a device that might, you know, go to court, be used in court and testify against you. For example,
right,
in a divorce case, in a case of domestic violence.
Right.
So I think people need to be much more aware that, like, when you buy those devices, you're inviting a piece of the state, a corporation, into your home that's potentially listening in and that will potentially be used against you. And I think we need to be much clearer about this. And it needs to be much clearer for customers when, in the case of Amazon, you have actually human being listening on your conversation. People need to be able to opt out from this. And this is what Amazon's saying. Amazon is saying, we have given people the option to opt out. But that's ludicrous, because people didn't know this was happening. No one knew this was happening.
Yeah, also, surely we have the right to privacy in our own home. We have the right to buy a device which we wish to use. I mean, I'm sure that if they wanted to, they could put listening devices into all sorts of things, like a television, which you wouldn't expect to have a listening device, but it does have, because, you know, I mean, people play on PlayStations through televisions. There are microphones all over the place. You know, people are hearing things all over. But, I mean, surely we are...
Absolutely. And by all means, I'm not saying people shouldn't use those devices. Like, those devices are here and they're here to stay. But we need to make sure that they're safe for people to use.
But that's what I mean.
Know actually how they're being used. That's not the case at the moment.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm not disagreeing with you, Eva. All I'm saying is that we shouldn't have to be careful around them. We shouldn't have to feel as though, you know, we don't want to say anything in case we incriminate ourselves, or in case somebody hears what we're doing and we don't want them to hear it. You know, we ought to be safe from somebody listening in, because one of the stories I'm seeing this morning is two Amazon employees in Romania said they heard a clip of what they believed was a sexual assault during an Alexa recording, but they were told it was not their job to interfere, so they didn't do anything. I mean, that opens up a whole can of worms, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like, as I said, like, they had those group discussions about, like, the funny things they would hear in people's homes, the distressing things they would hear about in people's homes. Like, clearly, there is huge implications around this. Like, you know, what could they do? What are they expected to do with all the recordings that they got from people's homes? That's, you know, that's very distressing. And actually, the case of sexual assault you mentioned, it really shows that, like, we have concrete examples of harm that have been happening, that, you know, we're in the hands of Amazon employees. And, you know, the thing is that they shouldn't have to deal with this. They shouldn't have had to deal with this in the first place.
No, they absolutely shouldn't. So what can you do if you're an individual who has an Alexa device? What can you do to change the settings, if anything? Can you complain to anybody about it? What's the story?
So you certainly should be changing your settings. Unfortunately, I'm not going to go on radio on the details of how to do that.
No, okay. But it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. So if people check online... about, you know, editing the Amazon setting on Alexa,
right?
So that, you know, you don't allow the training for speech recognition.
Okay.
This is how it can be done.
Okay.
So that's a necessary first step. Now, we as Privacy International, we are going to be demanding changes from Amazon. Because we think the default settings should be that, you know, your recordings are not being sent to foreign countries for people to listening on you, but we certainly would like to see also bigger steps being taken. For sure.
Absolutely.
GDPR.
What do you think about the possibility, for example, that the thing that happens to me from time to time, which is that I'm out of range of Alexa, which is upstairs, I'm downstairs, I'm sitting in a living room which has got a TV in it, but it's not on. I've got a phone in my hand, but it's not a live microphone phone. And yet, if I then check in with Facebook, it's advertising things to me that I've been talking about. How does that happen?
You know, I don't want to comment on the details of this because I don't, you know, there's been lots of speculations and the problem is like this is exactly a very similar problem that we don't have enough information. Like there's a blatant lack of transparency. You know, if you think about, for example, the people you may know feature on Facebook, like, you know, where they recommend friends to you, for example, Facebook is completely refusing to reveal information about how this feature is working, what kind of information they're accessing. So this is, you know, really opening ourselves up to speculation about, like, whether Facebook is recording us or not, because, you know, there is no transparency about how this is working. So I can't really comment on this because there is just not sufficient information out there. And this is something we very much want you to challenge as well, is that big companies collect enormous amount of data about us. They have enormous amount of information, and yet we don't know how this data is being processed. We don't know how they're using it to provide us with advertisement or features like people you may know.
And does it come back to that old argument, which we are now being told almost as though it's a good excuse, that, you know, if you're getting something for free, you are the product?
Yeah, well, very much so, because there is no such thing as being for free. Like, your data has a value to them. This is their business model. And it's not, you know, it's not just the big companies that we hear about. There's this whole, like, shadowy ecosystems of companies called data brokers that are collecting your data, that are selling it to other companies. This is very much how the economy is running, the contemporary economy is running. It's based on your data.
Yes.
And this is where this is why we'd like to see people having much more control over the data.
Yes, absolutely right. Eva, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Eva Bloom Dumonte there telling us why. She doesn't want to go into absolute details about this. This is all difficult stuff, and it's all very murky stuff as well. But you know as well as I do that people are listening in. What we didn't know before, though, was that it was actual individuals listening in places like Romania who were listening to your conversations. They might be listening to you having sex. They might be listening to you having a fight. They might be listening to all kinds of things. It's pretty creepy, isn't it?
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham
on Talk Radio.
It is 12:34. It is Friday. It is time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Perrier Awards.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.